Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, good evening, everyone. Good evening. This is Ken Hodge, co-producer of Hodge to Hodge Podcast Radio. And as always, I got the wind beneath my wings, my big brother, a.k.a. Messenger Ron Dyer. What's going on, big brother?
Hey, bless you, my brother. Glad to be here this evening.
Oh, we're all glad. It's always a good thing. Well, excuse me, because we don't know any better. It's always a good thing to be amongst the living. And I say that because if we really knew what I think we should know, it may be not such a good thing. But right now, I'm sticking with it.
All right.
Hey, listen. It's sad. It's Saturday night. It's 11 o'clock. So it's time to hear a word from the messenger. But before we get started, a couple of issues we want to discuss real quick. One. On a personal note, this was my first full week back to work from coming from the military and from the homegoing of my brother, not from my mother, brother Russell. And I'm gonna tell you, man, it's been a rough week. I find that when I'm at work, there's certain areas that we would meet and we would talk in, and as I go in those areas, I caught myself one or two times looking around to see if my brother was there. I felt him, but I didn't see him. And it was just a weird feeling. And I, every time, because most of the folks at work, where we work, I got ready to say most of the folks at the prison, but I do work for the post office. Most of the folks at the post office knew our relationship. And a couple of times, one or two people wanted to talk to me about that, and I just couldn't have that conversation right now. I told them, I said, my brother, listen, you know, because they asked me was I able to make it back for the funeral and yada, yada, yada. And I simply told them, I said, let me tell you something. That relationship that me and that brother had, the relationship that me and that brother had was so deep that, if I never see him again, he knows we were friends, man. And that was just a beautiful thing, a beautiful thing to have and to share. So, you know, I just want to say, Brother D, you always going to be with me, man. And doesn't matter if anybody can see you. I know you there with me, man. And to the family, I say, and I don't want to keep bringing it up, but I want you to know that I miss your father. I miss your brother. I miss your husband, Tamika. But trust me, let's all rejoice in knowing that he fought a good fight, and he got called up just a little higher. So I had to just get that out. Go ahead, brother.
One of the things that they'll come to understand, too, is, you know how you said he'll always be with you? You'll always be with him, because as the word tells us, once again, we are all one. So his body, his earthly body is no longer here, but he lives. And we got to understand that he lives. And to the daughters, the husband, the wife, and all the family members, he's going to stop by periodically and let you know this. He's going to let you know this. Jesus wasn't the only one that came back. We all do. Because of who we are. We are the same as Jesus. I didn't want to start off hard like that, but I just want us to understand that this is how it is. It's so simple. We make it hard, and we've got to stop because we're walking around here like zombies. We actually think we're in the light, but we're so much in darkness that it's a shame. It's a shame because we're not being who and what it is that we are supposed to be, because we choose to believe a whole bunch of stories that if anybody else would have told us to you, you would have thought they were crazy. But we believe it, and we believe it till death do us part. And so we miss out on the glory that God has provided for us, believing something that man has told you, not what God has told you, because nobody can honestly say that God has told them these things. God has confirmed some things in their lives, but God didn't tell them these things that is going on and the things in which they have you to do. Even if you examine the Bible, Jesus didn't tell you to do these things. But we still take it as gospel, and it's not gospel. It's just man telling you what to do to keep you under him so that he can rule you. And no man should have rule over anybody. Why? Because we are all one. We are all our own special being. And how can I be what all God wants me to be if I'm following behind what somebody else is telling me? I can't be it. I can't be happy with myself. I can't even be myself because I got to be what you want me to be. And do you think God gave me free will so that I have to be subject to what it is that you think I should be? We've got to see this for what it is and stop making excuses and going with this quote-unquote blind faith type of thing, because that is not of God. Ain't nothing about God blind. He told it to us from the beginning. You do these things, and this is what will happen to you. Not carry your Bible, not quote scripture. He said, pray daily. Seek me. You seek me. Then you'll hear from heaven, as you want to call it. And I'll be there for you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. And why is it so hard for us to understand that? Why do we feel we got to every Sunday because tomorrow is communion? Why do we feel that we have to have the communion? Because Jesus said, as often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. Don't you realize any and everything that you do according to what he said, you're doing it in remembrance of him? And if you did things in remembrance of him, that means you know him. And you are doing the things that he wants you to do, not what other people have left on record, but what Jesus said you need to do. Jesus said, I am the way. And all that meant was the things that I'm doing, this is how it needs to be done. It's just that simple. I'm not condemning nobody. I'm loving people. I know who my Father is, and I'm living to please him. I'm doing the things that are pleasing in his sight. And the things that are pleasing in God's sight is just us being who we are. And you say, well, us being who we are, we've got some defects. They're not defects. They're just different experiences. You can tell if it's something that's not suitable for you by how you feel about it. And it's just that simple. But we can't wait to Sunday morning to hear a word from the Lord. Somebody, we don't know what that person did all week long, but we're going to trust and believe that God found time to talk to that person to give him a word when God is right inside of you talking to you each and every day. We so brainwashed right now, if we don't get up Sunday morning and go to church, we feel like we just missed the boat and we ain't going to make it into heaven. From going to a place to meet somebody who's already with you.
And that's a definite fact. Yes, and that's a definite fact because my mom is like that. Yeah, my mother missed church. Yes. She feel like something ain't right. I mean, you know, so.
That's right.
Excuse me one second. Is that Nurse Carmen?
Yes, it is. Hello, my
is
brother.
Is this the real Nurse Carmen?
Yes.
Or is this the impersonator? Is the real one?
The okay. Real one.
Well, all right, it's a real. Okay. excuse
Hello,
me, Brother
messenger.
Bessie.
Bless you, my sister. And I just really want people to stop and think. Stop thinking because these words sound so different than what you're taught that they're just automatically wrong. How many people can say without a shadow of a doubt that the things that they're doing, they know it's what it is, and they know that this is what God wants them to do? Or is it because the preacher and the motherboard and the deacon board has drilled this into their head that this is what God wants? And knowing all the while, sometimes they wake up on a Sunday morning and they would love to go play a round of golf instead of go sitting in the church. But I got to go to the church. And please don't, if you want to misunderstand me, I mean, want to misquote my words and stuff, then that's on you. But I'm trying to tell you, I am not trying in any way whatsoever to put down churches. There are reasons to do that, but I'm not doing that right now. I'm just saying that it is not a requirement of God that you do that. Yeah, it's good for the brethren to come together, but we are coming together right now. We're living in the 21st century. We are coming together right now. And nobody had to go get to the church.
Amen.
And so we got to open up our hearts and our minds to receive what the Lord says and stop. Because, and I can't say it enough, because I see how people are being led astray by people just because they're calling themselves preachers. Now, my brother loves to call me the messenger, but I want to let people know that it doesn't make me anything special, because we're all messengers. We just have to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. And I appreciate him thinking so highly of me, but we've got to understand this. There is no great one person. And since I've got that, I just want to throw a couple things out to those in podcast land, those that might come across this a little later on or whatever. Let me ask you something. And John 3:16 says what?
For God so loved the world.
Uh-huh.
He gave his only begotten son.
Uh-huh.
And whosoever believes
in him. There's some more to it. What else is it? Go ahead. Speak loud there, Nurse Carmen. Say it with authority.
You're making me forget what it is now. God so loved the world.
Whosoever believes in him should not perish.
Right. But have everlasting life.
Okay. Amen. Now think about that. God sent his son to die so that you can have everlasting life. Think about that.
I thought about it.
Anything
don't make sense.
Anything popping in anybody's head?
Well, what pops into my head again is why did his son have to come and die for me to have everlasting life? And all he had to do was speak it into existence. But again, instead of us elevating to or attempting, because we're never going to reach it, attempting to ascend to God's level, we say, you know what? We're going to bring God down to our level. And the things that we do, the things that we understand are norms and values, we're going to now place those on God, because if we believe them to be norms and values, then we will also accept them as, okay, maybe that is true, because it's something we believe for us, not for a deity.
I could have said it better myself, my brother. But that's exactly what it is. Go ahead.
Well, I sit at the master's feet and I study from the man, you know. So I mean, when I say master again, I we have to always find ourselves stopping and breaking it down. When I say the master, you enlightened me on a different way to view. So again, so when I say the master, you brought me into the knowledge, or excuse me, you introduced me into the knowledge. And you know, for a minute, it took me about a year or two to really understand it. One day it just clicked, and I'm sitting here, I'm saying, wait a minute now. My brother, he run the church. He's a ordained deacon. So what I'm hearing is not what the primitive Baptist would teach, but he's got the credentials that make me say, okay, I know he's been exposed again to primitive Baptists. I know my brother's been exposed to Islam. I know my brother has been exposed to a lot of different things. So when you take all those things and we sit down and begin to study, and this is what we come out with, I can, again, after trying the Spirit by the Spirit, allow it to rule me, it just makes too much sense. And all the writings, we find it is continually told to us how simple this process is. But we complicate simplicity eliminates the need to go to someone higher. Like, for example, the Pope had a couple of tweets out today. I just think that's funny that the Pope tweets. But anyway, the Pope had a couple of tweets out today. And again, they all acknowledge God, but you ain't moving out of Popeville. If you live in Rome, Vatican City is so much better than anything close to it, but you call that the land for God, but the people who need to live there the most can only come and visit. Come on, y'all. Come on. You know what I'm saying? So you got the best of the best for God's messengers, but you are not sharing any of the wealth, any of the riches, any of that high class stuff that you have in Vatican City with the folks right outside the wall. And you call yourself godly? Go ahead, talk to me, bro.
And I will say this. Having all of these things, there is truly nothing wrong with it. But where the problem comes in at is everybody talks about how they want to be like Jesus. That's what everybody talks about.
Cut your mic down just a little bit, because when I play this back, I think we might get some feedback on it. If you cut your mic down just a little bit.
Okay.
Go ahead now. How they want to be like Jesus.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Everybody talks about how they want to be like Jesus. Can anybody find scripture where Jesus had a Mercedes? Can anybody find scripture where Jesus had a mansion? Now, please understand, I'm not saying anything is wrong with these things. But we can't in one breath say we want to be this and we want to be that, and we're not being anything. We're being what we want to be, and we're calling it something else. Now, you can have yourself a mansion, but God is not going to be in favor of you having a mansion by taking money from those that need in his name. If God wants you to have the mansion, he'll bless you to have a mansion. He don't want you to do your brother wrong to get that mansion. You want a mansion, you go to God, you talk to God. Let God know that this is what you want. And Jesus said, if you believe in your heart and doubt not, it shall be yours.
Yeah.
It shall be yours. How much simpler can it be? But the problem is, we don't believe. And so since we don't believe, what we do is we just find another way, because we're not trusting God. We trust ourselves more than we trust God. And I know if I trick these people into giving me their money, then I'm going to get my mansion. I don't need to wait on God. And then we'll turn around and say God gave it to us. No, God did not give us something where we had to do somebody else wrong to get it.
And when we speak about doing someone else wrong to get it, let's just keep in mind that when we say doing someone wrong, well, if you sit here and convince people that they need to give you money, again, we're not talking about Malachi 3 and 8, we'll bring the tithes to the storehouse, but when you convince people to give you money, again, because you're building a better kingdom, yeah, that's doing people wrong. And the simplicity of organized religion, again, this is why the multitudes won't really grasp this message, because the message actually says, I can love God, And I don't have to, give back to God what God gave me, but what I can do is with what God gave me, I can help somebody else. I don't have to give that back to God.
Can't get no simpler than that, my brother. Simpler than that.
I remember there was a joke.
If you do those things. Yeah.
But there used to be a joke out one of the comedians used to do. I don't know if it was Eddie Murphy or Flip Wilson or one of them. Flip Wilson, I'm going way back. The deacons collected the money, and they said, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take that money, and we're going to throw it all up in the air. And what God wants, God will take. And what hits the floor, I mean, that's for us. And that might have been from the Reverend Ike Rincoda. Yeah. 125th Street Ballroom, Audubon Ballroom, with Reverend Ike. They don't bring change because that change only hurts my ear. I remember the first time I heard that brother say that. I said, did I just hear what I heard? And you know what? After he said that, he never got change in another offering.
Because of people's fear. And this is another thing that just really vexed me, because it is so plainly written in that beloved Bible that God has not given us the spirit of fear. But why is it that we won't go to the church? Why won't we miss a Sunday at church? Because we are afraid. That's fear. But God didn't give it to us. So what should we be afraid of? And if God said, lo, I am with you always, why should we be afraid? If we know we got God with us, what cause do we have to be afraid?
Because
if
we don't know.
If we are standing and walking in truth, in your truth, not my truth, but your truth. This is just how simple this is. Your truth. And if your truth tells you that you know that you are in communion with God, who is it to tell you that you're not? Who is it to tell you that, no, you've got to come to my house and give me 10% and do all of this shouting and speaking in tongues and all of that different stuff to prove that you are in communion with God, when God already said he's with us? So he said he's with us, but now man's going to tell you that he ain't unless you do certain things, and you're going to believe man over God.
Because
and
it's
then
easier.
You want to look at me. Yes, and then you want to look at me like I'm talking some kind of blasphemy, because I'm trying to tell you the way, just as Jesus did. And yes, there are many masters throughout the world. Buddha was a master. There are all kind of masters. So to call somebody a master isn't blaspheming. What's blaspheming is to believe in the Bible that a master is the owner of slaves. Like God, it was okay for God's people to be in slavery. He let them stay in slavery all of that long time until he rose up Moses. That's not so. God is not okay with that type of stuff. God said, love ye one another as yourself. And just because it was just written with Moses, do you think God just started becoming active then? All that other time it was nothing? And then with Moses, then all of a sudden everybody started hearing from the Lord? The Lord went to sleep on us for a couple hundred thousand years, and then he woke up. Oh, Lord, what are my people doing in slavery? That's just not God.
And then my when brother, God, to bring them out of slavery in Egypt, just to have the new improved slavery in other parts of Africa and in North America. So in other words, again, we get back to, if you look at this through a chronological timeline, again, we're saying God fixed something that didn't stay fixed.
Yes, again, that's correct. Once again, we say, thank you, my brother, because that's what we do. We say that God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and we even have the audacity to say that God never made a mistake. He knows just what he's doing. We say that God is too wise to make a mistake. Soon as someone's body decays, the first thing we come out of our mouth is, God knows what he's doing. So if God knows what he's doing when he took a beloved person from us, you think he don't know what he was doing from the foundation of the world? You don't think he knew that? You think God really had to send, quote unquote, his only begotten son? And how can it be his only begotten son if we are all brothers and sisters?
Because by calling him his only begotten son allows us to continue with the foolishness, I would say, of believing that God took the form of Jesus to come. And you know, like I said, the more I say that, and the more I think about that, again,
the crazier it sounds, right?
it really does. God sent him, created all of this. But it got away from him. And again, you know, it got away from him. So he said, I got to come down here. Watch this. I got to lessen myself to take the form of something I created so that I can get them straight. Come on, folks.
And when he did that, he still, quote unquote, failed.
Because he had to come back.
Because Jesus died, now he went away for another, how long he been gone, and he coming back. This time when he come back, he coming back and he claiming everything. Mm-hmm. This time.
Brother Messenger.
And it was so important for God that he took. What was that?
Who's the new caller from 903?
Hello?
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, I'm calling in for some advice. I don't know if any of y'all could help me, but I could sure use the advice and the help.
Talk to me. And where are you calling from?
No, I'm calling from New Jersey. I'm in my 20s. I still live at home, and I'm having I'm having an issue with my mother, and I just don't think it's right. I know I need to move out, but I still need to deal with it while I'm here.
Go ahead.
Well, I don't know how familiar you are with the social media like Facebook and Instagram, but believe it or not, my mother is actually big into Instagram. She makes the bulk of her living as an Instagram model, and the issue is I've sort of become the de facto photographer in the family, and she's always forcing me to take pictures of her, which I'm not opposed to in theory, but you know, it's the photo shoots are getting more and more inappropriate, and I don't know how to confront her and basically tell her that this is not something I want to keep doing. I don't think it's appropriate as her son to be taking photos like this of her for Instagram for the public.
So what is your dilemma though, my brother? I hear what you're saying and I can understand totally what you're saying. I'm trying to understand your dilemma.
Well, my dilemma is I don't want to let her down. I don't want to disappoint her. I want to be a good son. But when she's telling me to do things like, you know, put ice on certain parts of her body to make it protrude, or to ask me to look her over to make sure she's adequately shaved for the photo shoot, I think it's very inappropriate.
If you feel, my brother, that that is inappropriate to you, then what you have to do is express that to your mother. You don't want to be a disobedient son. So then maybe you might know someone else that might be able to do it. Or maybe you could just sit down and talk to your mother and explain to her your feelings on it. It's your mother's choice what she does and how she does it. It's her choice. She has to deal with that. But you also have a choice that you have to make. And if it's that troubling to you, then you really need to say something, because why should you be in misery for no reason whatsoever? You're bringing extra heartache and pain upon yourself that you don't need to have on yourself. If it's something that you're not...
She's in the other room right now. We were in the middle of one, and I was compelled to call because I am a fan of your show. You know, and just now she was asking me to look her over for a tampon string hanging out, and it's just getting to be a little bit much. I don't believe it's appropriate.
I don't believe it's appropriate. If you don't want to do, and the point that I'm trying to get you to understand is, yes, it's your mother,
yeah,
but you are your own person, and you have to make, you have to do what is best for your own happiness.
Right.
It's. I'm not one to tell you not to be there for mom, but when it's something that's going to put you in an uncomfortable position, then you need to have that discussion to let her know that you love her. And you support her, but there are certain things that you won't do. I'm quite sure. What's that?
I'm on the phone. I'm on the phone. Sorry. I got her yelling in the background. What was that?
You have to be able to muster up enough strength to explain to your mother, just like you just explained it to us, that these just aren't things that you want to do. And so because this isn't what you're going to do, you still love her and you'll support her, but you just won't do it. You just won't do it. And until you get enough strength to decide within yourself that that's something that
Hello?
You're not going to be a part of, you're
who
going to be in
the Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi, this
yes.
is
hello,
the mother.
Man.
We're in the middle. Yes. I don't understand what the issue is here. I've overheard you speaking with my son. I'm in the middle of a photo shoot. And my son
okay.
wants to be the photographer. He's very good. So what I mean, what's your issue with what's going on here?
Ma'am, I don't have an issue at all. I think you need to have a talk with your son and find out what his issue is. We did not call you. He called us. He has an issue. I think you might want to have a conversation with him, ma'am.
Because, you know, I did the best I could as a mother. You understand?
Uh-huh.
And if this is a way to bond with my, I mean, who else is gonna hold up the camera, is going to make sure everything's in place on my body? I mean, after all, we want, the idea here is to turn these people on with the photographs. You understand?
I understand that, ma'am, but you really need to take your son's feelings and stuff into consideration. I understand that this has become your living, and this is what makes you happy, and nobody's trying to deprive you of that happiness if that's what makes you happy, but you have to make sure that he's happy as well. If you want a better picture, he needs to be happy, but he's very uncomfortable seeing his mother spread out in the positions that you are. He just doesn't feel that he should be able to see his mother like that.
Well, I'll tell you, I always try to support his photography habit. He's a very brilliant photographer, and he's very good with Photoshop, because I have a bunch of imperfections on my body. I'm no supermodel, and he gets it right out. Anything, and I, you know, I don't see what's wrong with a naked woman's body. This is where he came from, basically.
I don't see anything wrong with it at all. It's something that needs to be glorified. I have no problem with that at all. The only issue is between you and your son trying to decide how you're going to be able to continue doing what you want to do without disturbing him. It has nothing to do with anything that I'm trying to say. There is nothing wrong with expressing beauty. Because that body that you have, God gave it to you. And all of its imperfections that you may see, God see it as perfect because he gave it to you. So it is something to be proud of.
Thank you for that. Do you think I'm damaging my son? Do you think it's a damage I'm doing?
It might be to him. That's why I said you need to have that conversation with him and let him explain
it might be
to
what?
Him.
It might be what?
It might be something that he's uncomfortable with. And if he's uncomfortable with it, as a loving and caring mother, you should not want him to be uncomfortable. So it might be something that some kind of agreement that you two might be able to come to so that you can get your photos and he's not uncomfortable. Certain photos you might not ask him to take of you. I not that I have a problem with the photos,
I
but
understand.
If your son is uncomfortable,
I'll give you an example. Well, I would like to gauge your sensibilities as well. The other day, I had before the photo shoot, I had used the restroom, and I did have him check if there was any a tampon string or if I had toilet paper in certain areas. I mean, is that so inappropriate?
Well,
hey, Brother Messenger,
if I might
add something to that. Good evening, ma'am.
Hello. Hi.
Yes. Okay. I wouldn't say that. Well, again, if you don't feel it's inappropriate to have your son check you to make sure you're good for a photo, then that's okay with you. But apparently, he's not comfortable. So all we're trying to say, again, on this podcast that we run, called The Messenger, it's about getting people closer to God. And again, we discuss any family problems that you may have, and apparently here is one. But if we would maybe try some photos he could take, and then some photos you may have him refer you to another photographer. Does that make kind of a little bit of sense to you?
Well, yes, in theory. But yeah, I mean, my son's vocation is he is a photographer, and he's very good at it. And quite frankly, you know, I wouldn't feel comfortable with a stranger putting, for example, ice on my nipple area, or making sure I had shaved my my area properly. I'm much more comfortable with my son doing. Wouldn't you do this for your mother?
No.
Well, here's the question
The same way
you just said that you're uncomfortable with another photographer, your son is uncomfortable with him being the photographer. So it's okay for your son to be uncomfortable, but not you. You have to take his feelings into consideration, ma'am.
Do you think I understand
where you're at? I think you're not damaging him, but you're in some ways. I think, and I you once again, you need to discuss it with your son. I am so happy that you chose this forum to come on to discuss this, but you need to talk this over with your son, for you and your son to have a real heart-to-heart. You express your feelings, he expresses his feelings, and the two family members come together as one and work on something that is agreeable with the two of you. We're not here to discredit anything that you're doing or him.
No, I understand.
You two have
I
to
understand.
Be able to come together.
You know, this is how I make my living. These pictures will be worth a fortune when they go up on Instagram. And, it's to turn people on. It's to titillate. And
I understand that, ma'am. But what I'm saying, in order for you to get to the goal in which you reach, what you want to reach, you have to do it so that you're not harming him. He is your beloved son. Is that correct?
Of course. And this is why I'm helping.
So if he is your beloved son,
who's going to hold up? Who is going to hold up, for example, it's the left side of my backside is the best. Who is going to tell me this? Who is going to hold it up into the photograph so it looks nice? Who's going to do this?
Ma'am, I'm quite sure there are many people out there that will be able to tell you whether the left or the right side is nice. It's not just your son. You just have to look and explore more. If these pictures, as you say, are going to be worth so much money, I'm almost positive you can find someone that will be an objective photographer for you, and you don't have to subject your son to this if it's something that he doesn't want. And I appreciate the call, I really do, but instead of trying to get me to understand,
the other day I passed wind and there were stains on my panties, and he was able to identify the stains and help me clean them before. Imagine if I was in public, I was with another photographer, this would have been very embarrassing.
Well, it can't be too embarrassing because you're sharing it right now with me, and you don't know me, and you're sharing it with me, so it can't be that embarrassing because things happen, okay? So you have to understand that, and instead of spending this time trying to get me to understand, you have to work with your son to get him.
Just answer me that, and I appreciate your point of view. I am listening. Would you not check your mother's panties for stains?
No, I would not,
ma'am.
No, I would not.
Excuse me. Listen, I'm a mother, miss. I'm a mother, and I have a son. And I'm going to tell you, I feel it's inappropriate, especially if my son is uncomfortable doing some of the things that I ask him to do, because we want our children to be comfortable and to be happy. As a mother, I understand what you're talking about, but as a mother, as a woman, I think that's inappropriate to have your son do some of those things. I'm sorry, but that's how I feel as a mother with a son. I would want my son to be comfortable around me anyway, but to do some things that are what you're stating, I think they're inappropriate as a mother. Yes, I do.
Ma'am, and I appreciate your point of view especially, but if you can appreciate this, I have hemorrhoids, and I also have nipple hair, and these are things he is able to Photoshop out. He does it very well.
There's other professionals that could do the same thing. I'm sure there are many people that can do the same thing. Your son is the only one that can do it.
And you know what, ma'am, I like to recommend, or not recommend, but just let you know, I run a series of different podcasts. If you like, I'm sure if you like the same number, you call back on Wednesday night. I've got a different panel that would probably give you some different answers. So if you'd like to maybe, you know, call us back in on Wednesday night, I run The Attic. It's a family talk show. And we could hear that situation.
We're in the middle of a photo shoot right now. And Howard, I want you to get my left pussy lip. That is the better of the two going forward. And
okay, we're going to just go ahead and keep on moving on.
Okay.
We'll just go ahead and silence that mic for a minute, and I'll talk to her offline. But anyway, where were we in the ministry? But you know what, though? It just goes to show, the ministry is the ministry. The ministry is in it. It's every day. The ministry is our lives. And as the messenger always tells us, it's how we choose to use our lives. And again, no right, no wrong. Now, that was a different perspective on how somebody chooses to use their life. But again, the ministry stays consistent. That is your life. You can do whatever you want to do with it. But what I would ask that is, if you offend other people, then you have to start and make a conscious decision on whose happiness is important. If my happiness is important over my son's, then, ma'am, you can continue doing whatever it was that you were doing. But if you're in the middle of a photo shoot, and he stops to call a podcast where we have the messenger, and our theme is always the same, getting closer to God, and he stops in the middle of a photo shoot to call in, then you have to recognize that that's not a comfortable environment. I couldn't even imagine my mother asking me something like that. But that's me. I don't judge her journey or her son's journey. I don't do that. So that was just that, again, it just manifests to the podcast audience that our ministry is real world ministry. We don't have pre-organized text and sit here and we talk to you about life and what ways that we feel, based on our knowledge of the kingdom, that you can get closer to God. So again, we take all calls. If it bothers you and you like to discuss it, I mean, we're here because that's how this ministry is. We're not set. It doesn't happen Sunday morning from 9 to 11. This ministry happens every second of every day. We only get a limited amount of time to share it with the world. But again, you already live it. We're just rehashing some of the more current events that happen in your life. So to that mother, I think they are calling back in now. We've got another call coming in. We'll entertain the call and see who it is.
Okay.
Hey, caller, how you doing?
Hey.
Is this the same caller from church?
He's my brother.
Are there any shit stains on my panties? I let one rip, and it's a big shit stain.
Okay. Okay, so now, again, what people do, and I'm sure that's probably somebody that we know, just trying to make a mockery, or you know what, maybe that's just their way of expressing themselves. But it doesn't matter, because the ministry is still the ministry, and God loves us all. He gives us free will to do whatever it is that we choose to do. And apparently the caller and her son, if that's a real caller, chooses to take new pictures of each other. I mean, again, it's not the first time. In fact, they've got websites, books, magazines. So it happens with enough frequency that there's an audience for that. But all we want to do here is let you know, get in touch with yourself. And if that's some, an action you're taking that causes someone else to be unhappy, then maybe rethink the action or involve somebody else in your action that you both could find happiness doing it.
And, brother, and that is so true. And that's one of the things that people have to understand. We, once again, we're not here to condemn that lady. If that's what it is that makes her happy, that's what life is about, life and having it more abundantly. So if this is what makes you happy, be happy. But you have to take other people's consideration. Now, if we be honestly truthful about things, wouldn't it be a whole lot better if people were just taking pictures of their natural body that God created than taking pictures of their M15s or shooting people or stuff of that nature? So there is beauty in that. It's just how you're going about doing it. And remember we said how that in God's eyesight, it's not that it's wrong, but some things you do, there are going to be repercussions for it. For every action, there's going to be a reaction. So by her taking the pictures, there's nothing wrong with it. But if she is truly forcing her son to do something that is not pleasing to him, she will, or somehow or another, something is going to become of it so that it doesn't happen anymore. All things work together for the good. And we have to understand that. And if they want to play games, you can't play games with God. You can't trick God. And I'm not here trying to be me. If I was trying to be me, she would have got something else. But this is about God and God's beauty and God's abundance and God's love for not only for those that are on this call, but anybody that might want to call in. If you want to call in with a joke, if you want to call in with whatever, this is about understanding what a mighty God it is that is a part of us. And how he truly looks at things. Now, what just happened just now, that's not displeasing to God. God doesn't love her no more, no less. Because in the final analysis, she is my sister. And the caller is my brother. And we are all part of God. Now, that road, that path that she chose might not be the path for me. But it does not make it the wrong path. And so this is what we have to understand when things of this nature happen. And instead, some people would get offended. Some people would have some foul words and stuff on. But it's not for me to decide what path she takes. It's not even for me to decide what path the son takes. It's for the son to decide what path he wants to take. To bring him joy, because it's about his joy and not about my joy or her joy or anybody's joy. It's about his joy. We have to understand, how can we love someone else when we don't love ourselves? We have to be able to love ourselves. And I'm not saying it in a selfish way, but you've got to be able to take care of yourself where and you're at the point where you really feel good about yourself. And when you feel good about yourself, no one else can bring you down. And because no one else can bring you down, a lot of the petty stuff that causes so much friction between one person or another will not exist, because when you see that person, you see yourself. And when you see yourself, do unto others as you would do yourself. It's simple. It's
hey, brother,
simple. The path. Yes, sir.
We got another. I don't mean to cut you off. We just got somebody that's coming in at 337. If it's somebody playing games, I'll just go to cut the mic off, but we'll check it out. How you doing this evening, caller?
My clit is fully engulfed.
Okay, so we just got jokes going on tonight. But you know what, though? And it's okay.
Uh-huh.
Because watch this. This is God has given me the insight or the intuition to know that there are all types of folks in this world today, and
that's
everybody
right.
need to be heard. But you know what?
That's right.
If that same caller with that nonsense on the podcast today, well, excuse me, the different shade of conversation tonight calls back at on this number on Wednesday night, I'm guaranteeing it'll be a whole different again. They call back in here on Wednesday night, but they might get asked. They might get asked to post some of them pictures they're talking about. But I'm just saying. but you know what, though? It just goes to show, again, and I say that jokingly, but just to show you,
right.
this is how real what we're trying to do really is to us. It doesn't matter. You know, you want to call and pray. It's okay. Now, tonight, maybe that, again, once we find out, once we come to understand that, you know, there's some pranksters out there right now. But guess what? You take that same prank, call me Wednesday, and you could probably get about 10, 15 minutes on the air. But you know what? God said it's okay. Because if that's what they're
God
doing. Go ahead, brother.
God said it's okay. And even though they may think they're pranksters today, but God's word does not return void.
Amen.
It does not return void. And what we have to understand is God's word is God's word. And you've got to understand that God's word isn't just those 66 books of the Bible or the Quran or the Torah or any of the other religious books. That is not God. That is writings. God's word is what he has instructed his people to say. That's God's word. When it comes from God and not from thyself. So God's word does not return void. So whereas they might have called in today thinking they're pranking, but maybe it's just God pricking their heart to let them know something that they don't even realize it yet. If God could use, as the story goes in the Bible, if God could use a mule to talk for him, he could use me. He could use you, my brother. He could use you, my sister, to get his word across. And we can't just but we can't be like the others and start to assume or start to place these people in different categories and stuff. Even as jokesters, even though we feel that that's what they are, God, all things work together for the good. And when we understand that, even this call was good because this call was able to help each and every one of us maintain our cool.
Something on the inside
of all of us was about ready to, as they were saying, let's get dealt with.
Yep.
But
God said no.
Let him go. Let him talk. Because you know what, though?
That's right.
The fact that they called, in fact, they keep calling now. Just at one point, maybe they'll stop calling with pranks and actually listen to some of the words that are being said.
Amen.
So just the fact that we have their attention, and I know they hear me. Again, maybe it's something other than your prank that you
right.
out. You know, but
right.
but I say to them, because again they're still on hold. If you really want to prank and have fun with your prank, if this is truly a prank, then you call me at this number on Wednesday night, and I'm guaranteeing you that the full cast of the Attic will entertain all your questions and give you some good advice on one or two things. Don't call here messing with us, or hey, you answered my question. But you call back on Wednesday night, brother caller, and we'll have a little more time for you. But back to our message here, because we got about 5-6 minutes left. I'm glad that we had an opportunity to talk tonight. And again, you know what? Again, as the messenger says, we count it all as a blessing. That's one of it. That's one. Just because, right. You know what that tells me? That's one or two additional people that I know got to hear.
Got to hear the that's what my brother see there.
That's
all
how,
things
yeah,
work together
it.
For the good. They called in as a prank caller, but that prank caller also just to boost our ratings by 2%.
Mm-hmm.
All
and,
things
and,
working together for the good.
And it was, and even on, even bigger than boosting ratings, what if they heard something and said, you know what, maybe tomorrow morning they wake up, hey, remember when we called that podcast with pranking them, and he
yes,
said
sir.
This, they said that. Well, maybe let's call back next
yes,
week
sir.
with another question, or let's listen in a little closer.
Yes, sir.
So I appreciate you calling, taking the time to call in. But all I can say,
right.
if your intentions was anything other than to gain knowledge or share knowledge, then I hope you try a little harder next time. But if that was your true intention, then I hope we were helpful to you.
All things work together for the good. God's word
mm-hmm.
will not return void. When
you know what
makes for bad, God makes good.
When you say God's words will not or cannot return void, do we really need to sometime maybe stop and think about all the things that are in the Bible or that the Bible speaks about that God commanded but are just not happening today and count that as I'm not hearing that anymore?
No, you count that as that's not God's word. That's just something somebody put in there. That's what you count it as. Because, for instance, any commandment that God gave anybody, if God commanded it, it shall be. How can it be anything else other than what God commanded it to be? I'm trying to say, the Ten Commandments were not commandments. The Ten Commandments was commitments. Commitments to once you understand who you are and the God in you start to rise up. Every single one of those commandments you will see will become second nature to you because you'll better understand life and your purpose. So they're not commandments. If they were commandments, no one would ever steal because God said no.
And no one would have, no country would even have armies.
No, because God said thou shalt not kill.
That's what he said. What's it? Thou shalt not kill. But he killed his own son.
Hello.
Or, excuse me. He didn't kill it. Well, he allowed them to kill his son.
Right. Right.
No. Let's look at it even deeper. He didn't allow them to kill his only son. He allowed him to kill him because God
mm-hmm.
and Jesus is one.
One. That's
so
right.
God
that's
came
right.
down here in the form of Jesus, and he allowed them to kill him so that we might live. Now, why
right.
should God have to die so that we may live when God cannot die?
Or one might think that we had to, that story was put out there. You're right, because if God allowed them to kill Jesus, him, kill God, then there is no God. God is gone.
There is no God, because he did.
He did, right.
Because he's dead.
Or God allowed them to think. Because, you know, it's so important to God that I got to fool you. I got to trick you. I got to trick you into thinking that you killed me. Really? I mean, the more you think about that and you apply common sense to it, it don't add up. Hey, but listen, we got about 60 seconds left. Time to say our goodbyes and be together tomorrow night. Nurse Carmen?
Amen.
I say good night, my brother. And I enjoyed this podcast. And Kenneth, Cleveland won. They're up 3-0. And the buzzer, King James shot it, the shot that won the game.
King James.
King James.
King James. See, MVP all the way. if it be the will of God. Bring me home, brother.
I do thank every one of you.
I do thank everyone
for tuning in today, even those that called in.
Hold on, brother. Hold on one second.
Okay.
I'm getting ready to do just like off pop. Everything about to be canceled, so I'm going to watch this game.
Love you guys.
If
you were a Met fan, you know what I'm talking about.
I know.
Did you record it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You recorded the game? Okay, it was a real good game. Real good game. But I thank everyone for calling, and I do look forward to tomorrow night. I hope those that called tonight with the games call back tomorrow with just a little bit more seriousness about how to get in tune with the Master, the Creator, so that they can have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen. Thank you.
God bless you from the Highs to Highs podcast. We'll see you tomorrow night. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.